The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Waka Waka Wednesday as we weave our way to the wisdom of the watchful eyes of our wondrous master. That's pretty good, huh? First up, a quick look at angels. Why? Because they're real and they're in the Bible. That's why. Next are some teachings from the wise, which are painful but also helpful at various times of life. And finally, we examine one of the easiest and most deadly ways to insult God and the pathway to avoid this.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You can text us at 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. That's for a text. That's for trivia answers. That's for prayer requests. That's for praise reports. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. It's 972-445-0770. I know everybody's waiting for it. Here comes, get ready, here comes the very first trivia question. You just got to think about this. It's coming your way right now. In the overall of Scripture, what is the name or the title of a person who is called by God to speak to him to communicate special messages? What is the name or title of a person who is called by God to speak for him on special messages to the people of God? What is the title of that person? Ooh, interesting, huh? Yeah, we get it going right away. 214-210-8483. And already got answers coming in. We're going to give you the answer in a little bit. You know we got to wait a little bit. Let's keep in mind, any topic open for conversation because it's not professional radio. I think 300 shows, that our 300th show was on Friday. I think we've demonstrated clearly here. And 1,250 shows in San Diego, clearly there. Professional radio, not in my blood. The pro, no. I might hit my marks, but outside of that, I don't think I've gone through a flawless 60-minute ever. And then keep in mind, in San Diego, I used to do 2 hours. So I'm just telling you right now, wowzer. So you're just lucky you're getting anything good. Just keep in mind, it's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Don't forget our wonderful DNA. Draw closer to the Lord. D, N, never be ashamed. A, always be ready. DNA, that's the DNA of the Christian. That's number one. Number two, I spent a great deal of time talking to everybody about not getting caught up in the news. And isn't it amazing that within 24 hours, the news cycle is almost it's almost changed completely. I'm telling you, in another week, it's going to be the polar ice caps have gotten up, and now they're all transformers, and they're coming to destroy the United States. I mean, that's the next thing that's coming. Just get ready for it.
I believe it.
I mean, it's just like every news cycle. I'm telling you, they've got to come up with something now to draw you back in, because if you stop looking away, they stop making money. I am telling you, I'm in this industry. I can't tell you any more than I'm telling you right now. So keep aware of that. Don't be so committed to the news that you spend so much more time with the news than you do with Jesus. Okay? Okay. Because the news doesn't have a heaven to put you in, right?
Right. And it's depressing.
And it is depressing. It's depressing. Now, what's the worst part about it for those that don't know about the news industry? The worst part about it, besides media actually stands for making everyone dumber in America. Okay, if you didn't know that, I'm just telling you.
I didn't know that.
Making everyone dumber in America. That's media. And some people said to me, I put that in a post. Somebody says, well, weren't you that? I said, yeah, that's why I left. I'm just telling you, because like, no, it's not that great. And then the other part about that is there's such a focus on the negative. In fact, in the industry, it's stated in and what everybody does, if it bleeds, it leads. If the worst possible story is the first possible story, because that gets the eyeballs. It's the, I can't look away from a train wreck. But if all you do is look at train wrecks, you're going to be a very down person. And that's just, I mean, that's the way you want to live your life. Just slap an Eeyore sticker on the back of your head. That's all you got to do. All right, this is a classic. A couple of holidays I do want to cover, and then we'll get into our teach. Today is National Egg Day. I don't know what that really means. Sometimes eggs give me a stomach ache, so I don't know where to go with that. But if you're into eggs, that's awesome. National Chocolate Macaroon Day. Okay. National Tailor's Day. I haven't met with a tailor, I think, in 35 years, but it's great industry. I mean, if you got an eye for, you know, putting on you look at me. I mean, look like a schlub. Come on. Sierra can't even tell you. See, I'm not on television. I don't have to dress up. Except in my former place, there was a big, big window, and the guests would come walking by, and there I had to dress up. So, yeah, this is much better. And then today is National Repeat Day.
Can you say that again?
Today is National Repeat Day. Good job. For those that don't know, 1851, on this day, the first baseball team to wear uniforms, the New York Knickerbockers. Well, it's kind of one of those words. Also, 1888 on this day, Casey at the Bat, the famous poem by Ernest Thayer, was first published. Let's see. The first American to actually walk in space, Edward White, went for a walk outside Gemini 4. He actually walked for 23 minutes, which is really quite a long time. And then for me, this is big, and I know it's not big for everybody else, and I appreciate that, but you can, you know, think of me every once in a while. 1969, on this day, on June 3rd, 1969, the television series Star Trek, the original, aired its final episode. It's okay. Just wiping away a tear. I'm fine. Thank you for asking. Okay. All right. Question on the board is quite simple. What is the name or the title of a person who is called by God to speak, usually for a very specific purpose, to people? What is that title of that person? 214-210-8483. You already got Joy responding. I will tell you right now, Joy, you don't have to put a question mark by that answer, just to let you know. Let's get into our first teach. Here it is in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. I don't talk a ton about angelology, and for those that do not know, the angelology is actually a theology of one of the 12 majors, 10 major theologies, and then it breaks down into also angelology and demonology, so just in case you're unaware of that, because Satan falls under the category of demonology. And so I want to talk about Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, and I want you to just catch this, because this should be an encouragement. That's why it was written. It says this, "Now to which of the angels has he ever said, 'Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool'? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve those who are going to inherit salvation?" So the author of Hebrews, we don't know who the actual author is, he's talking about angels. And he does this comparison in Hebrews chapter 1, how the angels are nowhere near where Jesus is at. But at the end, he gives a description of what the angels do. And so it's a fascinating arena because we don't fully grasp the angels and the demons. And you don't want to be one of those people that sees an angel every time you see a light go off, or see a demon every time you see a rock fall on the ground. I mean, it's like, no, you don't want to be like that because that's excessive. But we really don't know the fullness of the realm because we're pretty blind to it. We're pretty unaware. But what we do know about angels is that they are ministering spirits. In other words, they serve, they're ministering, and they're sent. Not they're hearkened, Okay, so can I point out that when you have a book like Angel on Assignment saying, we can tell your angel what to do. No, you can't. So just stop that, okay? But they're sent by God to serve who? Those who are going to inherit salvation. So angels sent out by God to serve those who inherit salvation. Who dat? Who's the people that are going to inherit salvation? That's you and me. We are justified. That's the past tense. We are being sanctified. That's the current tense. And we will yet be glorified. That's the future tense of salvation. Salvation's in three tenses, past, present, and future. So you've been declared righteous. Now God is making you look righteous. And then at some point, you'll be in heaven with God. So you have been freed from the penalty of sin. You are being taught about overcoming the power of sin. And in the future, you will be free and away from the presence of sin. And that's the future element. And that's why it says inherit salvation, because it's talking about the future tense of the glorification process. And who are they sent out to serve? You and me. And you just, what happens is we get dulled to spiritual things. And that's funny because the same writer in Hebrews 1:13 writes this in Hebrews 13:1. I always find stuff like that fascinating. Let brotherly love continue. Don't neglect to show hospitality, for by doing this, some of you have welcomed angels as guests without knowing it. And it's like, you didn't even know that. It's like, really? You tell me that there's some kind of hospitality, and people are like, well, that doesn't mean angels. It's exactly the same Greek word as Hebrews 1:13 and 14 is Hebrews 13:1 and 2. It's the exact same. Just stop trying to split those kind of hairs. There are times where you show hospitality, you're a nice person, you do good to somebody, you don't even know it. That might be an angel. Or wait, watch this. You don't show hospitality, you're not a nice person, and you don't do it. And that might have been an angel. Like, oh, wait, that's the bad report, right? I don't want to go that way. And so the whole premise is for us to kind of heighten the awareness, but not be freaked out on it. Okay? And that's what it should be in virtually every doctrine, in every realm that there is in Christianity. Know it. Don't go to the extreme left. Don't go to the extreme right. Walk straight down the center, top center. That's where all Christians should be. And be aware that there's angels that are out there that are ministering spirits sent by God to help us. It's like, cool. I mean, how is that just not a good thing? It's a good thing. All right, the answer to, well, what's the title of the person called to speak to the people in special and specific situations? A prophet. That is what a prophet is. We're going to take a short break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Are you driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. It slices, it dices, it cleans up dirty spots, lickety-split, and makes julienne fries. And right now, for a tremendous discount, you can have a Commercial Whammy too. All you need to do is call KAAM or send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, and bam! You have your own Commercial Whammy before you know it. Call now and you can get a second Commercial Whammy for half the price. That's right. Call now for your very own Commercial Whammy, 972-445-1700, or email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Don't delay. Call today. Operators are standing by.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Here's what it says. The sure way to avoid criticism. To avoid criticism, the article says, say nothing, do nothing, be nothing. That was said by a successful and innovative coach of the Philadelphia Flyers hockey team. Now, that's not the only reason I'm reading the article, not because it's just a hockey team coach thing, but here's what it says. Number one, say nothing and become the unwitting victim of everybody else's opinion or point of view. Two, do nothing and just watch life from the sidelines. Three, when our voices remain silent and our actions still, we are nothing.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I do want to remind you, if you want to reach out to us, there are two absolutely fantastic, awesome ways to do it. You can text us 214-210-8483. You can text us trivia answers, prayer requests, praise reports, whatever it is. And actually, you can actually text us virtually any time on that number. During the show, if you want to call, you can only do that while the show is live, okay? I'm not talking about the repeats at 2 a.m. You call 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. So I'm going to have a little fun. You're just going to have to bear with me. We got some cool teachings I want to talk about, but I am going to give you a quick trivia question. It's going to make you think, and I'm going to give you a little bit of background. So there are how many books of poetry in the Old Testament? For those that don't know, the Old Testament is set up as the Torah or the law, then the history, then poetry, then major prophets, and then minor prophets. So it's a five-fold breakdown. So, you know, Torah, history, poetry, major prophets, minor prophets. And minor prophets doesn't mean that they didn't count. It's just the difference in the amount that they wrote at the time. So I'm giving you that opportunity for you to respond. How many books of poetry are in the Old Testament? That's the question. 214-210-8483. Also, if you want to call, 972-445-0770. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. We have that sinner's prayer that is up there now. Okay, I'm going to tell you what I did this morning. I put somewhere on the website, I'm not telling you where, I actually put this. Click here for the plans for the Battlestar.
You're killing me, Smalls. Yeah.
Good play. And I put that on the website. So if you go to the website, see what tears, you still think, like, I got it now. If you click on it, nothing will happen, but it's there. So I'm just telling you, I did put it on the website. The sinner's prayer, the audio, the video, all the other stuff. Plus, you have that opportunity to give. We encourage you to do that if the ministry is a blessing for you. We don't encourage you to do that over your primary church or the places that you've already committed to or you're devoted to. If you're able to do it, we love it. We appreciate it. If you can't do it, then we just simply ask you, keep us in prayer. Doesn't get any simpler than that as we try to avoid any kind of manipulation. We're just not into it. I've gone through so much of that stuff. I can't even tell you. One day when we're done and I don't have to worry about any of what I share, I'll share with you the first 10 years. Oh, my goodness. That's when the money was like, send us the money and we'll send you an anointed Bible. Wait, you're going to anoint the Bible more than God is? Wow. Anyhow, HeMustIncrease.org, HeMustIncrease.org, the email, David@HeMustIncrease.org, Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry, YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry, and now let's hear from our ministry partner.
Here I come to save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, he gets the situation well in hand.
Fire and water damage cleanup, smoke, wind, and flood cleanup, sewage removal, all kinds of restoration services, all from Mr. Restore. And our good friend Clint sent him off a text today, hoping to get him on the phone at some point soon. Bottom line, if you have anything going on that needs to be restored in your church, in your apartment, in your office, in your home, these are the people you want to call. With thousands of happy customers and over 50 years of restoration experience, family owned and operated, on emergency response site, on site within 60 minutes, working with all the insurance companies, you cannot go wrong with Mr. Restore. And you can go to their website, MrRestore.com, MrRestore.com, or you can connect through our website, HeMustIncrease.org. Please do so. Let Clint know that you made that connection through us. We would greatly appreciate it. So the question that's on the table, and then we're going to get into our teach. I need 2 hours at some point, is this. There are how many books of poetry in the Old Testament? And I'm trying to make this real simple. In the Old Testament, the scriptures are broken up into Torah, history, poetry, major prophets, minor prophets. There's those breakdowns. So if you can look at it, look at the Old Testament, you will be able to get the answer. If you know the answer, text 214-210-8483. And if you want to call in, you can do that at 972-445-0770. I had to look. How bad is it? I know it's just a, now that I'm not calling in every day, I can't remember the number. See, if you were Domino's, I'd know it by heart. Okay, anyway.
I know, I shouldn't have said that.
Okay, here we go. I want to share with you a couple of good nails. You're thinking, what good nails? What are you talking about? Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 11 says, "The words of the wise are like cattle prods, painful, but helpful. Their collected sayings are like a nail-studded stick with which a shepherd drives the sheep." For those that think about that, that's nails in a stick that are used, or, you know, what Jesus called the pricks are pointed sticks that you move animals with. Direct them in a certain way. That's why Jesus said to Paul, "It's hard for you to kick against the pricks." Like, yeah, that's painful. That doesn't work very good. So I have a couple of nails that I want to talk to you about that are very important and are essential for you to be settled. And one of them has a danger alert to it, and we'll get to that in the next segment. The first one I want to talk about comes out of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 through 6. Now, I know we've been doing the book of Ephesians, but that doesn't exclude me from going back and using quotes in Ephesians, obviously, or doing teachings. Here's what it says. Even before, this is Ephesians 1, 4. Even before he made the world. Okay, just real quickly. When? Even before he made the world. God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 through 6. Let's at least start this little nail, three good nails, with the best nail of all. And that is, you were chosen by God and you are accepted through the work of Jesus Christ. God granted by his grace an opportunity for you to receive by faith these tremendous benefits. And theologians can fight from now until we're all bowing down before Jesus, and they'll never actually determine the fullness of why God chose you and me. But what we can know for sure is that it's a good thing. So what you can know is I would rather be chosen than not be chosen. I don't. It's not, you know, I don't have to be. And you think, well, it doesn't seem fair. And I'll tell you what, when you get enough power and enough ability and enough authority, then you go argue with God and tell me how it goes. Let me know how you think you're going to win that conversation. In the meantime, before the world began, God loved us and chose us. And there is an appropriate response that we should go around on a regular basis having. You know what that is? Thank you. I mean, thank you. You think of all the stuff that you go through. You look at some of those passages that talk about that the light and momentary affliction that we go through now is not worthy to be compared to the glory that's going to follow. All of the stuff that you go through right now, all of the hard times, all of the difficulty, all of the all of you getting up in the morning, this is what we do in the morning. We get up in the morning. If it wasn't for the dog, I'm not sure we'd get out of bed sometimes. We get up and it's like, oh. And we don't get up. And you know, in cartoons, they get up and they go, yay, it's a new day. Get closer to 60, you get up and you go, oh, I got to get up off this bed. It's just a little different. But all of that groaning and all of that moaning is nothing. Because there's going to be a radiant day where every right and good thing surrounds us. The peace and the grace and the mercy of the Most High just fills us. The joy of the Lord overwhelms us. And we'll be worshiping and praising and thanking Him and dancing in the streets. And all of the pain will be gone. And you just think, that just sounds amazing. I was doing a word study today. Let me give you amazing in regards to the fact that we're chosen by God and accepted through Christ, and we get to spend eternity with Him. Just listen to this word study. It's really quite fascinating. So in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul talks about in verse 4 going up to paradise, the third heaven. He says, I went up to the third heaven, and then in the next verse he says it's paradise. Well, what's ironic about some of those things, because the Lord had given him revelation, what's ironic is that word paradise in the Hebrew is what's used for the Garden of Eden. And so it's just like, now, the third heaven, some people say, well, that's, you know, past the skies and past the sun and the moon would be the second heaven, and then into the heavenlies would be the third heaven. Okay, that's fine. I don't really care. But I like the idea of a garden because that is so cool. And the Garden of Eden. And it's like, see, starts in a garden. Jesus prayed in the garden. We're going to a garden. Okay. Oh, yeah. I'm all good about that. I just think that's just like, yep, I'm good for that. But the greatest and first nail to remember, you are chosen by God, accepted through the work of Jesus Christ. He doesn't unchoose you. The answer to the trivia question, by the way, how many books of poetry? There are 5. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Song of Solomon, and Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon are considered the poetry in the Old Testament. We're going to take a break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. Don't go anywhere.
Just as I am. The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement.
and what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water, and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven, and that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2. On God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM. And if you can't
shout sight, you'll have to fight. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I do want to let you know, if you want to reach out to us, 214-210-8483 through text, 972-445-0770. Through phone. We have another trivia question. That was kind of cool on that last one. So it's Job, Psalms, Proverbs, and then Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon. I think I'm getting those better. But it's those five. And those are the poetry portions, just so you can know. That's what's considered poetry. And then just because I'm in that kind of mood, for those that don't know, it would be Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel that are considered the major prophets. So if you're ever asked that question, it's just really four of them, but Jeremiah has two contributions to it. Okay? All right. Just stuff to keep you aware. Oh, that's how they break that down? Oh, yeah. That's one of the ways they do it. Here's our next trivia question. Much easier than the prior trivia questions, so we're just going to kind of leave it open. 10 men with what condition were healed by Jesus? 10 men with what condition? 10 at once. 214-210-8483 is the text, or you can call 972-445-0770. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Lots of fun there on the website. We add stuff to it, try to keep it somewhat interesting, but it is long. So I'm just saying it's a long, but it's colorful. So that's another way to look at it. Email david@hemustincrease.org. That's our email. And as well, you can go to the website and just fill out one of the forms to reach out to us. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Now let's hear from our next ministry partner. Kimberly Ellis, our good friend from Fathom Realty. Fathom Realty, by the way, great company overall, just really good. Aunt Deb works out of Fathom. She's one of our close people that helped us kind of lay foundations here in Texas. But Kimberly is committed to helping. Let me tell you how committed she is. Somebody called her up. I'm going to tell you a story. Somebody called her up. They didn't call her for real estate. For something else, and she's helping them. And so we talked on Saturday, and she's like, well, how can I help here? What can I do here? Because that's the kind of person we're talking about. That's the kind of person you're dealing with. Now, she can help you if you're a first-time buyer. And maybe you're an experienced investor and you're looking for somebody to work with that you can count on. Maybe you're looking at foreclosures. Maybe you're looking at short sales. Whatever it is in the real estate realm, I don't know everything in the real estate realm. There's so much to know, and you got to go to classes and keep up with it and know what's going on. You can't just go, oh, great, sign here. There's a lot more to it. Well, she's the one that you want to talk to. She's her and Tony, great brothers, a brother and sister in the Lord, just wonderful people. Their number, 903-48-HOMES. So that's 903-48-HOMES. And I think you can get the homes part because it's about homes. It's real estate. But 903-48-HOMES. If you can't reach her for whatever reason, reach out to us and we'll help you make the connection. You can also connect her through heatmustincrease.org, as we have a link on our site to two of her different sites. I think we have it to her personal site and then also to her real estate site or something like that. Or they're both real estate, but they have different titles or something. I don't know. Do I look like I know? What are you asking me for? Okay. Sorry. Did I ask the other trivia question? Yeah. Okay, I did. All right. So 10 men had what condition? What condition did they have? They were all healed by Jesus at once. What was that condition? If you think you know, text 214-210-8483 or call 972-445-0770. I want to talk about the second nail. First nail was to recognize that you're chosen by God and accepted through the work of Jesus Christ. And eternity is awesome. And no matter what happens in life, no matter what you go through, okay? Let me rephrase it. No matter what you go through, let me say that differently. No matter what you go through, it won't compare to the greatness that's coming. That's just the reality check for believers. That's what it is. And so it's an awesome thing to give us the ability to endure and to keep going. Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame for the joy that was set before him. That's what keeps you going, okay? All right. Number two nail, which is very, very, very important. And this one has a danger connected to it. That's why I want you to listen. There was a certain man named Ananias who, with his wife Sapphira, sold some property. He brought part of the money to the apostles, claiming it was the full amount. With his wife's consent, he kept the rest. So he brought money as an offering, sold his house. Let's say I sold my house for 200 grand, and I'm giving you 200 grand because we sold it for 200 grand. But in reality, he sold it for 300 grand, but wanted everybody to think he was given the full boat. He was all the way in. Verse 3, then Peter said, Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? You lied to the Holy Spirit, and you kept some of the money for yourself. The property was yours to sell or not to sell as you wished, and after selling it, the money was also yours to give away. How could you do a thing like this? You weren't lying to us, but to God. What Peter was saying is, hey, that property was yours. You could have kept the money. You could have given the money. You could have given some of the money. You could have done whatever you wanted with the money. But what you said was, we sold it for this and we're giving you all of it, and you lied. As soon as Ananias heard these words, he fell to the floor and died. For those that do not know, this is Acts chapter 5 in the New Testament. Everyone who heard about it was terrified. Then some young men got up, they wrapped him in a sheet and took him out and buried him. Now, the whole story repeats with the wife. They both conspired together. The money was theirs, and they could have done anything they wanted. They could have done nothing with it. They could have gone to a carnival. Nobody was going to say anything. That had nothing to do with it. What they did was they tried to present themselves as much more holy than they were. And it wasn't just holding back some of their heart, as some of the commentators might say. This was a full production of, I sold my property. I sold it for 200 grand. Here's the 200 grand. Oh, by the way, there's 100 grand underneath the rock in my tent. And so the whole thing was a lie, because he was trying to come off more spiritual than he was. The first thing that God judged in the New Testament church was being fake. You can say whatever you want, come up with all this stuff. You certainly don't want to talk to political leaders about what the Bible is saying. Just read it. See Dick run. See Jane run. See Dick run after Jane. You can do it. But the idea that we need to grasp or understand that what irritated God the most was that they were just lying about it. Now, I don't think it goes to the level where somebody asks how you're doing and you go fine and you know you're not doing fine, okay? These are people that made a production about how Christian they were and how righteous they were, and the whole thing was a kind of like a scam. And it's like, look, one of the things we need to recognize is that God made you. Okay, you know that DNA that's in your system? That's part of God's creation. And what you're doing when you're trying to say you're something different than what God made is you're pretty much telling God he's terrible at creating. And when people say, oh no, I don't care what God made me, this is what I'm going to be, that's an insult to God. In this case, it was a deadly insult. So here's the pathway to never going through stuff like that, never even getting close to that. Here's the pathway. Just be honest. You're probably not superstar spiritual man or woman. Fine. You know, I know in our minds, I think Paul wrote, and I read about this even today in 2 Corinthians. So Paul, he didn't want them to think of him more than they should. And I think that we do that with our spiritual leaders. We think of them so high and so mighty and they'll never fail us. And then they inevitably fail because people fail. Only Jesus didn't fail. And so we put so much stock into it, so much confidence in it, when we should be putting all that stock and all that confidence in Jesus Christ, who will never fail you. And then they blow it, and we just lose it. And it's like, that's because we put it in the wrong place. We're putting our bet on the wrong person. The way a Christian does it is we're putting everything we have on Jesus, period. And everybody else that can help us is a blessing, but they're not to be exalted. Even the apostles knew, no. We're just people. Don't go down these roads. And when you're trying to come off something more than you are, it's an insult to God. He really didn't like it in this instance. I mean, I think this was a message. And some people are like, well, were they believers? Were they not believers? It's like, I think this is a message from God going, just be real. It's like he knows when you're not. He knows when you're not. And here's the thing that most people don't like. Most people know when you're not real. I mean, how many of you have been able to spot a phony? Right? Come on. I mean, most of us by now are like, we have our radar up. Phony. Beep. So just be real. Be who you are. Don't insult God. Just be who he designed you to be. You might have some flaws in you, sinful nature and all. Got it, okay? That's what redemption's all about. That's what salvation's all about. That's what forgiveness is all about. That's what grace is all about. That's what mercy is all about. Okie dokie. That's why we're sinners saved. That's why that works that way, but it works that way. All right. Going to take our break and come back. Let me give you the answer to what was the disease or what did they have, the 10 people, what condition? They had leprosy. So everybody who texted in got it right. Excellent job. We're going to take our short break and then come back for the last nail. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
I did what most Christian men would do when they make a mistake. It's their fault. There's nothing but humiliation on your face, and you're trying to recover in the moment. And you know what I did? I blamed it on every possible unseen force except for myself.
You have chosen wisely.
So guess who knocked that crystal light on that white carpet? It was Satan, by golly. Well, it was at that moment, because it certainly wasn't my fault. I didn't knock the crystal light all over. It was my glass. I did pour it. I did bring it to the table, and somehow fell on the carpet and spread everywhere. And by golly, I wasn't going to take the blame for it, because that would be taking personal responsibility. Well, I'm not taking personal responsibility. After all, that $500 deposit we just had that we were hoping to get back when we move out is already down to $200. And it was dropping by the dollar as the stuff was spreading.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
On Christ the solid rock, I stand. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Some of that intro music that we have is free to get through livinginhisgrip.com under the Hymn, H-Y-M-N, project, just to let you know. You can also reach us in the following ways. 214-210-8483 is the text, 972-445-0770. I want to make you smile just a little. So here's the trivia question. Okay, so you can either text it or you can call it in. What does the word epistle mean? And I will tell you right now, it is not the wife of an apostle. What does the word epistle mean? Ah, fun today. 214-210-8483 is the text, 972-445-0770. Our website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Our email, david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Now let's hear from our next ministry partner.
Well, we're moving on now. To the east side. To the deluxe apartments in the sky.
Johnny Hill, Man of God Moving. Just had some back and forth with Mara and Johnny yesterday, and just want to let you know that he is praying for everybody. They're thinking about us. They're thinking about you guys. They're thinking about things that are going on. He has been busy, which is like, of all the things that you would think about, it's not something that was at the forefront of my thought process, that he would be actually busy during all of this time, and people are moving left and right, not to moving out of stairs, they're just moving from place to place to place to place, and he's just helping everybody. And so his prices are excellent, their activities are excellent, their spirit is fantastic. If you need help moving, get in touch with menofgodmoving.com. Tell Johnny or tell Mara you heard it on the David Spoon Experience. You'll get a really, really nice size discount because he's connected to us, and we love that. So we just want to be able to bless them. They're also on Facebook under Men of God Moving, but the easiest way, menofgodmoving.com is their website. Plus, you can connect to them through hemustincrease.org. Okay, I think I threw a few people off with my epistle question. What is an epistle? What is an epistle? 214-210-8483 to text. Also, if you want to call in, it is 972-445-0770. I did tell you it is not the wife of an apostle. The only reason you guys don't know why that's funny is because like 35 or 40 years ago, that was the joke going around the church. But that's okay. I'm going to absolve you from that.
from that one because it's not your fault.
Let's talk about the third nail. So we talked about angels in segment one. We talked about recognizing that we are chosen by God, accepted through the work of Jesus Christ, and eternity is our inheritance. And a great eternity at that. And the last segment, we talked about being real because not being real is a bad idea and dangerous. And now I want to talk to you about the third really good nail, and you're going to find some of this kind of unique. You understand it, and I understand it, but we need to see some of it sometimes borne out in Scripture. This is 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 20, says this, "So my enemy, you have found me," Ahab exclaimed to Elijah. "Yes," Elijah answered, "I have come because you have sold yourself to what is evil in the Lord's sight. So now the Lord says, I will bring disaster on you and consume you. I will destroy every one of your male descendants, slave and free alike, anywhere in Israel. I'm going to destroy your family, as did the family of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and the family of Baasha, son of Ahijah. And you, for you have made me very angry, and you've led the nation Israel into sin. And regarding Jezebel, the Lord says, dogs will eat Jezebel's body at the plot of land in Jezreel. And the members of Ahab's family who die in the city will be eaten by dogs, and those who die in the field will be eaten by vultures. No one else so completely sold himself to what was evil in the Lord's sight as Ahab did under the influence of his wife Jezebel. His worst outrage was worshiping idols, just as the Amorites had done, the people whom the Lord had driven out from the land ahead of the Israelites." This is like, wow, you don't want to be this guy. The Lord ain't happy. That's all you can say. Verse 27. "But when Ahab heard this message, he tore his clothing, dressed in burlap, and fasted, and even slept in burlap, and went about in deep mourning. Then another message from the Lord came to Elijah. Do you see how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has done this, I will not do what I promised during his lifetime. It will happen to his sons. I will destroy his dynasty." It wasn't as though he fully escaped the judgment due him, and he was, between him and Manasseh, it would be like the destruction of the planet kind of stuff if they had the nuclear power and the stuff that we have now. They'd just been blown it to bits. But God was so mad, and he was going to just think about how the Lord is speaking through Elijah, gonna annihilate you, dude, off the planet. And what happened when Ahab heard it and humbled himself? He got a minor reprieve from the Lord because the judgment was still gonna come, but God said, "I'm not gonna do it to you while you're alive. You won't see it." Which was a tad bit, or what we would say, a gallon of mercy. Now, why do I bring that up? Because even the worst people, if they have a genuine sense of humility, can find favor with the Lord. And when I say that to you, I want to give you a little church history from the 5th century. Pelagius was super, super mad at Augustine around the 5th century because Augustine was struggling with sin and kids just said, "I can do nothing but throw myself at the mercy of God." And Pelagius was like, "Well, that's not right. You shouldn't be that way." And so in my class, I wrote, Pelagius was a jerk. Because any person that comes before the Lord and lays his life out and goes, "I am a mess and I need your help," will get response from God, especially those of the household of faith. And you come before the Lord and you go, "This is messed. I don't know what I'm doing. I need help here. I'm having a hard time getting through this." I'm telling you right now, according to every passage from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22 to 21, every book, if you come earnestly before the Lord, there is graciousness that awaits you. If you come humbly before the Lord, there is uplifting that awaits you. If you come to the Lord in pride, he will fight against you. If you come to the Lord in humility, he will fight for you. Now, I'm not a rocket scientist, though my brother-in-law actually is a rocket scientist with JPL. But I can be smart enough to tell you that if I am making a choice between God fighting for me and against me, I want God fighting for me. I don't want God fighting against me. I already have enough things against me. The last thing I need is the man who rules the universe in the sense of the man, you understand what I'm saying, and have him mad. It's like, what a dumb idea. Instead, I think what I'll do is I'll humble myself and say, help me, help me. The difference between King Saul and King David is when King Saul was confronted with his sin, he said to Samuel, he said, make me look good in front of the people. When David was confronted with his sin, King David, by Nathan the prophet, David said, you're right, I sinned, I'm wrong. The Lord, please have mercy on me. The difference between those two is David's dynasty is a forever dynasty linked through Abraham and through Jesus Christ. Saul's, not so much. Get it? But because of how he responded and because of the seriousness, because he humbled himself. And you've heard me say on numerous occasions, eat the pie and eat it fast. If God offers humble pie, eat that humble pie. Nebuchadnezzar didn't, and God turned him into a cow. Bad call. Instead, we ought to be hanging on to humility, falling down, and finding favor. Because when you humble yourself before the Lord, even if you think you got it all together, and I meet these people all the time, and I got it all together, I got all the answers, I know everything that's going on, right up until God pulls out the shotgun and blows up the ducks that you've all lined up. Because it never works the way that you think. You know, that's why Scripture makes fun of people that go, I'm going to do this for a year, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. So you can plan all you want. And there's nothing wrong with planning and submitting those plans to God. But if you think God's purposes won't override your plans, you're nuts. And that's why you humble yourself. That's why you yield. That's why you say, you, Lord, not me. Your plans, not mine. Your way, not mine. And if you do something wrong, say, I did it. I did it. I own it. I throw myself at the mercy of the Most High God. Because that's what you're supposed to do. Because that's what you did when you said yes to Jesus. And if it worked then, hello. Hello. Get it? So, know you're chosen by God, accepted through the work of Christ. Be real. And hang on to humility. By the way, the answer to the trivia question, what is an epistle? It's a letter. That's why it says the epistle to the Galatians or the epistle to the Philippians. Aha! All right, folks. Thank you for hanging out with us. You guys are crazy because you love us, and I think you're crazy because you're great. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770. The Christian station here in Texas is going to take a 23-hour break. Then we'll come back. More insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Thanks a lot.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.